We've been bouncing around on the subject of discipleship, haven't we? And I want to talk to you today about your discipleship. Your discipleship. Do you have a ship that makes disciples? Well, why do people get on ships, by the way? Yeah, somebody says, I don't know. I just get seasick. I don't want to do that. Well, you know, for a long time, people got on ships to get from point A to point B. They had to go somewhere. Nowadays, it's a little different, isn't it? There are cruise ships out there where people get on them and they don't really go anywhere. Go around in a circle, hit a couple of places, and, you know, and you mainly just stand on it so you can do whatever they're doing on those ships. And some of them are crazier than others. Some of them have some really weird things they do on them. Most of them are just, you know, a little bit of food and music and whatever. I know there have been Christian cruises where certain teachers have taken people on board a ship and they have a room on the ship and they do like a conference on the ship. And so it's a conference / vacation. That's fun. I don't have anything against that. I've never done it. But I don't have anything against it. If you want to cruise, knock yourself out. That sounds okay to me. I don't know what would happen. I'm pretty good on boats. I don't know whether Lisa would love that or not. We might be standing by the rail. Any of you ever been on a ship and people were? I've been on small boats on small lakes where people were like dying over the rail in the back, you know. So. Yeah, ships are interesting things. They are vessels, though, to get us mainly where we need to go. And they are large vessels in a lot of cases to get a lot of people where they need to go. Most of the things that we call ships, most of us have boats or have been in boats, but not all of us have been on very many big ships. So, back on the 23rd of June, I did a message called The Real Discipleship. And we talked about what God really wants for discipleship, what it's supposed to look like. And since then, I've done two other messages that kind of were along the same vein, one on the 14th and one on the 21st of July. And it was about the things that Christians do to feel like they're doing what they're supposed to do, you know, and what they think they have to do to be disciples. Some of you will remember that possibly. And so one was called The Things That Christians Do, and the other one called The Law of Love. And there's a reason for that. I'm going to kind of remind you of it. If you miss these messages, though, let me just say that they are available in audio on our website. You can just click and listen. We send out stuff every week, try to send out every week, so you can just click and listen from your text messages. Just boom, go. And then they're also on Facebook. They are still up on Facebook, too, and on YouTube. You can find them easy on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, and you can find stuff that you've missed. And I recommend that. I highly recommend that. And today, I'm going to say some things to remind us of stuff that I've said, but I want to get someplace, so let me just get there. So let's look at a couple of key verses from those last messages that are important to this message. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. If you want to turn there, I'll give you a second. That's a verse that you probably ought to know. And if you're still underlining in a big black KJV, go for it. If not, you can probably figure out on your app how to highlight. I highlight stuff, so I see what I did before. I'm amazed with how you can do notes in a lot of these little things. You can just kind of tap it, give you a place to put a note. And then the next time you read it, you go back and see what you were thinking the last time you read it. And I think that can be very useful. So anyway, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is our job. Let me bring it down a little bit. This is your job. Just tell someone near you, this is your job. This is your job. This is your job. Yeah, it's your job. Go make disciples. And we talked about that in that the real discipleship message. But and that's called the Great Commission, by the way. Y'all know that, right? Yeah. Sometimes when I say that word, the Great Commission, it sounds like it's just this really big thing that not everybody can do. I made it really easy for you in that message. You can do this. But let me go on to another verse that's important. John 13 and verse 35. And I think this verse might be more important in some ways than the Great Commission. Because sometimes the way we look at it, we don't get it right. And I want to get this right. So John 13, verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so that's where the love portion of those three messages got very much in the middle of things. And one of the things I told you about was how important making disciples is if it's done in love. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't do it in love, you're probably not doing it right, and you're probably not making disciples. You're probably making a mess. There are a lot of people out there, by the way, that are making a mess. In the name of Jesus, they're making a mess. They're doing it in such a way that it's more about something that discipleship is not about. I think we'll do better making disciples if people look at us and they see us loving one another. Think about that. Rather than feeling like they're obligated to do something, they feel like they're being invited to do something. Oh, I want to be in with that group of people because I see something going on inside of that group of people that I want to be in on. I want to be one of them. How do I be one of them? It's a great question. We took some time in one of the messages and we wrote down on a whiteboard all the stuff that people think that Christians do. I did it with the youth too. In fact, I think it's still on the whiteboard in there. I almost drug it in here today because I did it with the youth because I wanted, some of them were out when I was preaching some of this and I wanted them all to get caught up. And you'll understand that in just a minute of why that's important to what we're talking about. We wrote all these different things down, you know, read your Bible and blah, blah, blah. We wrote all these things down. But I want to suggest to you that all the stuff that we do sometimes is sometimes easier to do than loving one another. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but it's sometimes easier to sit down and read my Bible till my eyes bleed. Oh man, I read 13 hours today. For some people, that's easier than loving you. Now I'm talking about you. Do you know how you are? Are you aware of you? Yeah, you can be hard to love sometimes. Loving people is more complicated than doing stuff. I can pray for an hour. I don't have to have any people around bothering me. Oh, yeah, that was a whole lot easier than dealing with them for the last hour. You know, oh, I just dealt with God. God doesn't mess up, so you don't have a hard time with God, but you have a hard time with people sometimes. Is this? Am I the only one who actually experiences this? My wife experiences it, I know, because she has to put up with me. Sometimes I'd rather just do something and not have to deal with people because I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, but people are weird. Weird people. Just weird. Stuff is easy sometimes compared to the messes that we run into when we have to deal with each other, and you know, or people have to deal with when they deal with us. You know, we're all the same boat here. And it's the discipleship that I'm talking about. By the way, did you hear about the guy whose estranged wife surprised him with a new car? Talk about love. Of course, she missed him and he was happy about that. That was awful, wasn't it? Yeah, you finally, oh, she tried to hit it. Yes, that's what I was trying. I didn't say it well, but here's the thing. That may be a dumb joke, and it is, but it's kind of an example of the reality. Sometimes we do have people and we butt heads and we don't get along, and it's not easy, and life can be hard. And if I could just go over here and do a religious thing, you know, that's what some people do. They get away from everybody. Then they don't have to deal with people. And people go, wow, they're so religious. They're hiding sometimes, quite honestly. So discipleship is more about love than anything else. And let me remind you from the one message, disciple and discipline only have two letters difference. But in the original language, in the Greek, in the scripture, disciple and discipline are two separate, completely different words that have their origin in something different. It's a different idea. One is mathetes, and the other is, where did I write it down here? Paideia, something like that. I'm not good at quoting Greek. The point is, they don't sound alike. They're different for a reason. And it's because one is more you being disciplined, and the other is more you learning. And the learning is not so you'll do things right just like a machine. The learning is so that you connect in relationship. And we don't think of discipline as connecting in relationship in our world, do we? We also don't think of discipleship as connecting in relationship as much as we think of, I got to do these things to be a good disciple. And so we talked about that in the last message. I don't want to focus on that too long. But let me just say that I also mentioned the Pharisees focused on discipline with their disciples, but Jesus focused on relationship with his. And again, it's worth going back and listening to if you didn't catch it. Now, I've done enough re-preaching, but I want to ask you this question. So this is what I built up to, and this is what I asked the youth. After talking to them about some of this stuff, I asked them, who are you discipling? Think about it. Don't yell out any names. Who specifically are you intentionally discipling? Okay, here we go. If you think taking someone through a course of activity to get them to look more like a Christian is discipleship, you aren't discipling anybody probably, because you probably don't feel like you can. When I asked the youth, and said, who are you discipling? I could tell they weren't aware that they were supposed to be discipling anybody. And most of you would probably think, well, like, they shouldn't be discipling anybody anyway. They're still kids. They need to be discipled, which is the way we think about discipleship. By the way, do you know that some of Jesus' disciples were kids? I mean, almost, you know. John was very young. Jesus did discipling, though. He said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. So if we think that discipleship is primarily a course of activity where we disciple somebody and then they become like Jesus, because we've been discipled and now we're like Jesus. That's another question altogether too, isn't it? Then we think that, yeah, probably the teenagers can't be discipling anybody. But now let me ask you the same thing about you. If you feel like I've got to have this coursework that people have to take in order for me to disciple them, are you discipling anybody? Well, no, that's your job, Pastor. You're the guy who does the discipling around here. Well, then what's the whole point of the Great Commission? Well, he was only telling that to the apostles. So we've got this dilemma, don't we? Because sometimes the way we see discipleship, we don't see ourselves being in a position to be discipling people because we still need some discipleship ourselves. And by the way, y'all do. And so do I. We all need more discipleship. He's not finished with us yet. So I want you to be reminded, and I said this in one of the messages before, you are qualified to disciple people if you know what you're supposed to do to disciple people. And what are you supposed to do to disciple people? Coursework or love? Discipline or connection? What if we started not trying to get people to behave a certain way, but just started to love people into an experience with God that then leads them into connection with God, and then He, by His Holy Spirit, works inside of them to change them? And what if we keep loving them? And He'll use you, by the way. Somebody might say, I notice you don't swear a blue streak like some people. Well, what if that's an opportunity for Holy Spirit to speak through you into the lives of people who need things? I've known a lot of people who came in, got saved, and they were still doing some stupid stuff. I was one of them. And then by and by, the Holy Spirit began to work on them. Now, I'm not saying we stand by and let people hurt themselves or others. I'm not saying we stand by and do nothing while everything goes into a mess. But what I am saying is I can do things with people I have a relationship with that I can't do just by standing over here and saying, now, if you really want to be a disciple, you got to do this and this and this and this and this. That's so effective, isn't it? I've discovered that if I try to speak into somebody's life truth, but I don't, like, I'm a pastor, but maybe I'm not their pastor. And I've tried to say something, and I've had them say, who do you think you are to tell me? Oh, sorry. My bad. I thought I was your pastor. That's literally happened in my life. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't want to hear it from me, you won't hear it from me. I will not. I will not push you. But if you want to receive something that I feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, I'll try to speak into your life. And we'll pray it through. So the primary purpose of discipleship is connecting and loving each other in relationship with God in the center of that thing that we're doing. So this week, past week, we had a couple of discipleship events. Did you know that? Yeah, we did. We had a couple important discipleship events. There was 8 people at the one. We went to Buffalo Wild Wings. Well, that's not discipleship. Yes, it is. There were people there, and we were interacting with each other. And some of it wasn't all that spiritual. And some of it was actually, there was a little something going on there where Holy Spirit can get in and kind of, you know, connect us more to each other than we were connected before. And that gathering of believers together, breaking bread and fellowshipping. Oh yeah, there's a ship there. We were on the fellowship as we were building relationship that brings us into discipleship. We were doing something, and it was valuable for those who were able to make it. Not all of you could make it, I understand. I'm not going to be mad at you for that. But if you can make those kind of things, but did you find out exactly when Jesus is coming back according to Revelation? No, we didn't. Sorry. Nor did we do a Bible study. Although there was a waiter that got prophesied to. Oh. Stuff happens when we do that kind of thing. And we also did a thing yesterday. We did a thing where we had 9 kids, I believe, and 8 adults. And we took the kids to a play place. And the kids were, yeah, thank you. Some of the parents were like, ah, thank you, Jesus. I got so ministered to because children are hard. They are sometimes. They're people. People are just, relationship is, I love you. I'm going to kill you. But I love you. It's the way I felt about my kids. I don't know about you, but that's just the way it is sometimes. You know, so sometimes that's the way I feel about my congregation. Sometimes that's the way my congregation feels about me. We're going to kill you. So, you know, this is, and there were adults talking and sometimes chasing kids. And there were kids running around like maniacs. And our little granddaughter did this really wonderful headbutt slam into, which one was it?
Army,
yeah, the littlest guy. The little Army and no, I'm sorry, not Remy. Our granddaughter, we have a granddaughter named Remy too. It gets so confusing for me. Our granddaughter London ran into Army. Bam! It was so loud you could hear it above the screaming kids. It was a cracking sound. Is he okay today?
No, he's fine.
Yeah, they're kids. They're kids. It's whatever. They're good. I noticed my little granddaughter, she's being herself. She loves to run. She needs to look where she's running. But she loves to run. She'll learn. It's great. And I just love it that she's got all that energy. I really do. Until I have to watch her. But anyway, I'm like, oh my gosh, this kid's killing me. That was a discipleship opportunity in that we were connecting together as family, watching our kids. We were letting the kids connect together because they start to know those kids that are part of the family of God that they're connected to. The church isn't just this building, you know. It's a family that God is pulling together to do great things through. That's wonderful. That's what we want. We want to create that. And those kids are part of that. And then, you know, we had conversations. I don't know that we got real spiritual any time yesterday, but I just like talking to people sometimes. I got to sit with Noelle a little bit and just converse back and forth. It was fun. I'm getting to know her better. She likes blueberry pie. I like blueberry pie. She had blueberry pie from Maine where they have wild blueberries. I had blueberry pie. Now I want to know what the difference is. One's better. Yeah, I know. I don't doubt it. Wild grown real blueberries in Maine. This sounds like wonderful to me. I want it so bad. It's good. See, this is good. This is discipleship. Will there come a time when Noel and I sit down and I don't talk something spiritual? Probably. But we're experiencing discipleship because we're experiencing relationship and fellowship. Is this making sense to us? Okay. I am going somewhere. I'll get there eventually. Let me just take you to another verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. I'm going to read it quickly for time's sake. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is what kind of can happen when we're together, especially if we're cognizant that the Lord is with us and we're thinking about it and we're doing stuff as God's people together. And so stuff comes up. You know, people will just refer to something. Somebody will quote a scripture. Somebody will encourage someone else. You know, there'll be things that happen when we're together. Because why? Because we're all part of this kingdom thing that God is doing called the church. And so these things start to happen. This is a very relational passage. And when we come together with other believers, our connection will naturally be even more encouraging because the Holy Spirit is flowing in and out among us. We get to be part of each other's lives. So, for example, we have Wise Guys this week. Wise Guys is a really interesting group. Sometimes we talk sports. Sometimes we talk politics. Sometimes we even get on deep theological subjects. And those connections are creating a place for us to learn to let God's love move more. So, here's the question. When we have wise guys, am I the discipler and everybody else disciples? Because sometimes that's the way we think, you know, the guy, the clergy guy, the collar guy, the guy, you know, the guy that leads the church, he's the discipler and the rest of us are just disciples. Yeah. What if I told you that sometimes I learn things from them? Now who's being discipled? Did you hear the last line of that passage I just read where it said, submitting to one another in the fear of God? See, a lot of times there are guys that get into the position that I'm in and they want everybody to submit to them. I'm not interested in you submitting to me. I'm interested in you being in submission to the mission. I'm trying to help define the mission. I need help defining the mission. I can't do this whole mission by myself. It's not my mission that you guys get a ride along on. It's not my ship, and you guys just get to be fellows on the ship. And I tell y'all what to do. By the way, there are some churches like that. And the pastor's being cheated by his own stupidity because he's not being discipled by his congregation. We submit to one another. By the way, that verse is just in front of it where it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. But see, we like to miss that submit to one another thing because we want certain people to submit in a certain way so we can feel large and in charge. But the reality is we submit to one another because we're all being discipled. All of us. So what if the Holy Spirit is discipling all of us and he wants us all to be in submission to his mission? And what's his mission? The church, the people of God becoming family. If we do this well, all men will know that we are his disciples. If we do this love thing well, all men will know that we are his disciples. It's really hard to deal with people who really love each other and enjoy being together and have a good time and care about each other. And, you know, you can really say a lot of negative things about, you know, this group over here that is almost cult-like in their devotion to exactly what they have to do every day, what time they get up, what time they do this, what time they do that, click, 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 everybody walk and step, godly robots. But when we love each other, it's not like that. It's different. One more verse, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So here's a question. What's the greatest treasure in your life? We naturally give our time and our talent to the things that we treasure the most. So here's the question. Is our connection to the people of God and learning to love one another the greatest priority of our lives? Let me ask that again. Is our connection to the people of God and learning to love one another the greatest priority of our lives? Maybe we haven't thought of it that way. But you know, I had this weird thing happen to me when I was 14 years old. I thought that everything was about that. I got touched by God in such a way that I thought everything was about his kingdom. It changed the way I did my schoolwork. It changed the way I did my bed at home. Because I didn't do my bed. Mama did the bed. Then I started learning to make my bed. I started learning to do things because there was this overwhelming sense of I'm living on this planet for his purposes. And I didn't know that I was making disciples, but I had a lot of friends who would make fun of me in front of everybody else and come to me behind the scenes and want to talk. Because they saw something changed in my life. And I didn't change because I had this list of things that I had to do. I changed because something happened inside of me. I had a relationship with God, and then I wanted everybody else to have that relationship with God. And it was, for me, honestly, a lot about relationship. And by the way, that's why I ended up being a pastor. Because I was already pastoring and didn't know I was pastoring. I was already making disciples and didn't mean to actually be, oh, I'm the discipleship authority. I wasn't the authority. I just was loving the other kids around me in the name of Jesus. And they started coming to me with questions, and that's how I got to be in the place of kind of like a pastor to some of these kids. And, you know, it just that was the way it worked. And so if it is the greatest priority of our life, then we also would look around and maybe see that it's not the greatest priority in some other people's lives. Right? Okay, so let's try this on. Have you ever known someone who is a disciple of a specific NFL team? Sure you have. Or a college team. Or you just start to think with me. Some of you are already going there. I've known people who were disciples of a club or an activity. I've known people who were disciples of a country club. And all the stuff that went on there. And they never missed. Because that was where they were being discipled. Oh, and by the way, they learned how to dress to certain events, and they learned how to do this, and they learned how to do that. Because people would tell them, oh yeah, we're going to have this big formal thing. You need to show up looking like this. And the next thing you know, they were just little disciples of that thing that they were connected to. I've often wondered what the world would see if we, the church, would learn to lovingly do life like his disciples. Not just on Sundays, but all week. And some of you are, by the way. Some of you already are. You're connected during the week to each other. You call, you talk. But what if we got more intentional about it? Oh, there's that word. I used it earlier, intentional. What if we intentionally wanted to make sure that we had connection with people who need connection, by the way? They need connection. They may not want connection. They may not want you as their connection. But they need it because we were made to need it. That's why people are trying to become disciples of who knows what out there in the world. Because they are made for this ship, this discipleship thing. So ask yourself, who's on my discipleship? Who is on my discipleship? Well, probably your close family's on your discipleship as you're trying to make sure that they move toward the things of God. But who else is on your discipleship? Is there other people in your discipleship? Can you bring some people in on your discipleship? Because you got a boat, it needs to float, and it needs to take some passengers on, and you can make the difference for those people. Maybe somebody at work that you can get close to. Maybe somebody, who knows, in your family who's currently rejected by everybody else in the family. And you can be the one in the family to make them feel loved and welcomed. In my mind, I've been being discipled by this church for 27 years. All y'all and a whole bunch of other people. Some who aren't around anymore. But I've been being discipled. I'm going to tell you, I've been being discipled. I have been through some stuff where I've learned some stuff. And I'm not going to do that again. And I'm not going to do that again. And I'm not going to do that again. There's been some stuff I've done that I didn't do well. And it caused me to come to a revelation on how I was supposed to behave. And I'm still learning. Well, no, I'm done learning, actually. I'm just so smart. See, it makes you laugh. That's where we're all at. That's where we're all at. We're all in that place where we need to be on this thing where I am learning to connect and be a disciple maker and a discipler. And be becoming a disciple. All this needs to be going on in my life. And how hard is it to do? I have to love people. There it is. I got to love people. Well, that's not that hard. Yeah, it is until they ask you to, you know, take some time When you got something else you want to do? When they need a call? When they call you at 3 o'clock in the morning? But there's so much value in it, and so much to be gained, and so much to learn, and so much that turns us into people who become more like Jesus. And that's what I want to be. See, I don't want anybody to be my disciple. I want them to be his disciple. And I'm not going to be your disciple, but I want to be his disciple. And I want to act like him and walk like him and talk like him and live like him. And that's done through making discipleship, if you will, a priority. And you're like, oh, so now I got to think about this. It's not that hard. Just start loving people. And maybe write a few people down and say, I need to love this person more. And I can love this. I have an opportunity to love this person more. And I have, oh, look, here's somebody. And you don't know, but at some point, you may actually help in the process of bringing them into their own experience on the discipleship. So, as we end up here this morning, I just want to ask you, I want you to leave here thinking about this. Who's on your discipleship? Amen. Yeah, you can do this. You can. All right. I'm going to pray for you. Stand up. Put your hands on your head. Yeah. Just like this. Just say, Holy Spirit, work in me. Change the way I think. So that I can be a person who makes disciples for eternity. Not just temporary, not just people having fun, but people who will know you and walk with you and live with you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.